Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you come here today wondering what God would say to you? Did you come here today anticipating the good word that He has for you? Are you an active listener this morning? God is active here today. And God's active word is creating active Christians right now, fellow redeemed. Think on this as you hear the words that Paul gave to his young student Timothy at the beginning of 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's where our sermon text is this morning, and I would invite you to rise as we hear Paul's words. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. So far, our text, and we pray. Lord, make us active hearers of your word today and always, so that we may know the truth. Amen. You may be seated. The Food Channel. Home and Garden TV, the DIY channel. There are a lot of very popular cable TV networks out there that are all about improvement and self-improvement and home improvement, how-tos for the curious. It's no surprise that there are an ever-growing number of spiritual self-help channels and books also beginning to spring up out there, many that are already there. And besides the idolatrous stuff that's about false gods and spiritualism, there are countless Christian self-help books and programs that are available out there. How to have a Christian marriage, how to manage your finances properly, how to highlight your Bible. There's even one of those. Get a kick out of that. Many people are looking for advice on how to live Christian lives, and they're turning by the thousands to the thousands of resources on the TV and online and in Christian bookstores. And so are congregations of believers looking for tools and how-tos and manuals and advice and ideas on what to do. Now, I'm sure that some of these resources are better than others. Some of them are trying to echo what God has to say about these things. Some aren't. There's an awful lot of stuff out there that seems right in the eyes of man, but has little ability to actually help anyone's spiritual condition. Clearly, the question of what shall we do? It's a question that's on people's minds these days. But there's a bigger question that we'll also consider. What does God want to do? And while it doesn't seem like it, there's an even bigger question that God points us to. And that question is this: what did Jesus do? That's actually the biggest one of all. The one that has the most value for us. The one that the Holy Spirit points us to for real answers, real spiritual comfort. So why are people asking, what shall I do? Why do you think that is the case? Well, it seems to me that with the busyness of modern life, nobody would have the time to even ask that question, let alone look for the answer. But I think that the reason why people are asking, what shall I do, is that so much of our lives seem now to be filled with countless empty things, vain things, things that are fading away and perishing. So much so that we're wondering what it all means, and does anything matter? The world throws answers at us rapid fire. There's so many things to do. The world throws self-help advice, and DIYs and how-tos right after that. When we think about our congregation and ask the question, what shall we do? So many possibilities, aren't there? So many possibilities that we're driven by the world to think about. So many possibilities driven by our human nature. So many possibilities offered by demonic lies even. So many empty, vain, fading, perishing things we could do. And the world jumps in and dumps rapid fire all kinds of self-help and DIYs and how-tos to fill us up to the fullness of meaninglessness. But what God gives us Christians to do is not like these things. Paul says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. So do we do this? When we run up against a tough medical problem, do we immediately beg the Lord for help? That's what supplication means, to beg for help. When we feel inadequate, when we've disappointed ourselves, when we've done something foolish, something sinful, when we're stuck in depression, do we think to pray? When we see the homeless and the helpless, even our enemies, do we intercede for them, pray for them, that the Lord would help them? When we have little, do we give thanks to God? When we have a great bounty, do we even remember to give thanks to God? When we run up against other people who don't share our sense of urgency and recognize how evil this present age is and how short it is, do we take that to the Lord in prayer? We generally don't think of prayer first. Sometimes it's not even thought of second to last. Because supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings, well, they just seem to be powerless. We can't get anything done with prayer. Maybe your parents drilled into you that you got to solve your own problems. Maybe they even taught you this, which, by the way, is not quite true. It's a famous saying here in America, God helps those who help themselves. But here God our Father directs us to look outside of ourselves for help. He doesn't point us to ourselves. He doesn't point us to what we can do with a bunch of DIYs and how-tos. He directs us outside of ourselves for help to remember that even though we can't see this truth, He not only exists, but He is truly in control and He cares. He cares about you and me. The Lord gives us an eternal perspective. That's not a natural perspective for us. Supplications and prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings all have this one thing in common. Think about it. These are activities that would beg for God's involvement. If God were far off and unconcerned, well, then these things truly would be worthless. But we don't have a God who's like that. We don't have a God who's disconnected from our lives. He's not even disconnected from the tiny little details of everything in our lives. He knows it all. He's concerned about it all. That's why Jesus taught us this. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, he's not telling us that God is some great vending machine and all we have to do is ask for the right things and we'll get it. He's reminding us that God cares, that God wants to be involved. He wants to do something, and he is not powerless. Paul continues, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God. Just think of what the one and only true God wants. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us stumbling around through our lives in the dark, unknowing, uncaring, sinning our way through to the end. No, this isn't what he wants for us. He would save us from this and from the ultimate end that awaits those who desire to continue on in their sin and keep doing it. Saving us is foremost in his mind. We may have many, many things that we want in life, but there's only one thing that we truly need. We need to be saved, and God has chosen to do this by giving us faith through his word and through baptism. And he gives it as a gift. It's not something we buy from him, but he gives it freely to us through these things. And he credits that faith to us as righteousness. He declares us to be right in his sight by faith. He desires all of you and me and everyone in our community and everyone in the world. He wants us to come to a knowledge of the truth. And Jesus tells us that his word is truth. He wants us to know what he says and what he believes and what he thinks. But why? Why should God declare us to be righteous in his sight when we are so mixed up, so vain, so full of empty motives and selfishness? Well, it's not because we have figured it out. It's not because we know how to get rid of our sins and stop being what we are by nature. It's because he is involved. He is the saving God who before time even began resolved in the council of that great Trinity to save you, to find you where you are now in this place, to deliver to you the very things that he has empowered to give you faith and everlasting life, to give you peace, and to take away your sins by his own personal sacrifice of God the Son for you. Jesus overcame every temptation. He never sinned, and then he willingly went to Jerusalem. Remember how he prayed, Father, your will be done. And he died for you in your place on that awful cross. He died for you to save you from your sins. He died to save me from mine. He died so that his righteousness and his perfect life would be counted to us as though we did it ourselves. What a wonderful thing to know. And he wants you to know this. He has caused it to be proclaimed down through the ages just for you. He could have had angels standing on the mountaintops proclaiming this good news, and I suppose that would have been kind of cool. But I think it's even more wonderful and amazing that he has caused his word to be written down for our learning, that he has caused his word to be right there in that handy book we call the Bible, that he's caused his word to be impressed upon our memories so that we know it. He's caused his word to be accessible to us and even put it on our lips to speak it to other people. What a wonderful thing that is. So when we pray and praise and give thanks, are our activities really passive? They're not, are they? By no means. Think of what God has given us the privilege of doing. Do we not follow Jesus? And I don't mean just as an example, but I mean we are in him so that what he does, we're drawn along in that great divine thing that he does. His prayers are our prayers, and our prayers are his. He's active, and so are we in him. Remember, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. We have been given a place in this great testimony of God's love for all people. Just think of the privilege that we have. Our prayers are a result of our connection to the divine, to him. Our attitude is one of gratitude for what he is doing. So what was Paul to do? Well, he says, "For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle." I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. "A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling." So what shall I do? Listen to God when he speaks. Trust his constant love for me. Live my life in the freedom of forgiveness, knowing that my sins are forgiven in Christ, giving thanks, proclaiming the truth. What shall we do? Well, come together, as we do, to read and mark and learn and take to heart this glorious message as we live in him, as we pray to him, as we see him use our hands to accomplish his great work of salvation. Use our lowly lips to proclaim the truth that he is a gracious God and that he loves us in Christ. We have the privilege of living very meaningful lives here on earth. Sometimes we don't see it, but they are very meaningful as we make our way to heaven, the heaven that he's prepared for us. Believe it, fellow redeemed. God's word is active, and it actively creates active Christians. People like you and me who proclaim God's word, who tell of his grace, and who pray that his will would be done. May this always be our thought as we are making our way along that heavenward path in Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.